welcome to Garden Planet with Selena
and Karen. It's been a while, hasn't it? I'm feeling a bit like we're a bit rusty. It's like old friends reunited. It's been a bit like that, actually, with the whole COVID experience.
Yes, so...
It's still ongoing, isn't it? Feels like it.
I know. And yes, we feel for you out there who are isolating and...
Yeah, continuing on the journey. And also with the way things are at the Planet FM studio, we're still working remotely, so apologies if the sound isn't as sharp as it usually is and if we're a bit sort of umming and ahhing a bit too much and a bit disjointed, guys. But anyway, we've got some great things for you on the show today that'll make up for all of that.
Yes, and we've got to do a big catch up, don't we, Karen?
Yes, we do.
Because I heard you were renovating your garden.
I am indeed, yes, in amongst all, well, we've been contending with rain. It's either rain, heat, or builders not showing up.
Oh dear.
That's what's been going on, chez moi. At the moment, all sorts of obstacles, but the heat is no longer a problem.
Yes,
now it's just clay everywhere.
Oh dear!
Outside, inside, in my clothes, in my hair. I had some on my hands yesterday. A friend popped over to grab a life jacket. And she's like, "What's that all over your hands?" And I'm like, "I don't even know. Don't ask. It's I think I just picked something up outside, and it was just I just need to look at it.
Just gets under your nails.
Yeah,
like it's a like... beautiful encrusted fingernails.
It's good times remodeling a garden in West Auckland. Yeah. We're just waiting for that grass to grow back now and cover up that clay. But, it's been a journey. So we're going to delve into what's been going on in that. And Selena's going to give me some good suggestions. And maybe if anyone else out there wants to email in some good suggestions for me, that'll be cool.
Okay, that's gardenplanetfm@gmail.com. It's easy to remember. If you ever want to let us know what's going on with you and ask us anything.
So,
yeah. How about we start off with our plant of the week because we want to get back into hearing about what's great in the plant world.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's do that.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. He'd spent about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch.
Oh, well, that's a song that I have missed indeed. Our little petunia song. Right, so the plant of the week this week, okay, it starts with H. It reminds me of a girl I teach in my class called Holly. The plant is called hollyhock. And, it's just a plant. I saw a picture of it in a book. Oh, no, it was in a calendar, actually, that my mum gave me for Christmas. And I thought, oh, I must mention that one day.
Oh, it's cute. I love the name of Holly. It's so nice.
Have you got any Holly? Holly was probably named after the Holly to do with, like, Christmas and all that. I don't know. But anyway, it's a lovely name. Do you have any hollyhocks in your garden, Selena?
Well, I did, but hollyhocks didn't do very well for me.
Oh,
so
okay.
Maybe I'll hear a bit more about how you look after them and I'll get some tips from you.
Have I got much on there on how to look after them? I couldn't actually find much. But anyway... let's just get into what I did find. All right, so the hollyhock is of the mallow family of plants, and they are native to Asia and Europe. Hollyhocks are annual, biennial, or perennial plants. So pretty much anything and everything. Usually taking an erect, unbranched form. The herbage usually has a coating of star-shaped hairs. The leaf blades are often lobed or toothed, and the flowers may be solitary or arranged. The petals are usually over 3 centimetres wide and may be pink, white, purple or yellow. Lovely colours.
Well, what I like about the hollyhock is its height. It gives you height in the flower garden, so it's one of those that stand out.
Yeah. I think I might give it a go, even just if it's as a potted plant. I might head off and do a quick bit of emergency research and come back to you and see if you can actually do that. Right? Hold the line. So hollyhocks are a popular garden ornamental plant and are easily grown from seed. Did you grow yours from seed, Selena?
Yes, I tried to. They did grow, but they didn't grow very tall for me. I'm sure I've seen them much taller in other gardens. So probably was the soil.
I'm pretty sure I've seen some, just so you know, listeners, we're based in West Auckland, New Zealand. I'm pretty sure one day we saw some hollyhocks around the Poinsettia area. Did we see some in someone's garden? Those real tall ones that I saw that day?
They might have been hibiscus, very similar looking flower, which is, very big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hibiscus is lovely, going off piste here a bit, but because it was Samoan Language Week a few weeks back, there's a song about hibiscus that they sing.
Oh.
That song that goes, La Uete, La Uete. And it's got little movements, and we were saying it all week, and I should have known it by now, but where they do the movements where they put the flower behind the ear, and it's so pretty. Hibiscus is like quite a... Is it just a Pacific thing, or is it global now?
Oh, it's quite a tropical flower. We're usually around the Pacific islands there, you will have it.
And hollyhock, as I said, is native to Asia and Europe, so maybe...
It's more of a temperate flower, so you'll find it in cottage gardens. They like growing it there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's maybe not suited to...
Maybe it's more of a temperate plant.
Yeah.
Because I think Auckland is a bit too humid for it.
Temperate meaning cooler. Yeah, all right, okay, got it. All right, so moving on. So hollyhocks are a popular garden ornamental plant and are easily grown from... Oh, I just said that, sorry, repeating myself. They have a number of breeds that have been bred over the years, and these include breeds such as the raspberry-coloured Crème de Cassis. Sounds kind of flash. Raspberry-coloured. And the Watchman, which has dark, nearly black maroon flowers. So there's a few veering away from the pink, white and purple.
Exotic sounds. Colours.
Interestingly, breeds of hollyhock with red flowers attract hummingbirds and butterflies.
Really? Well, we don't get hummingbirds here.
No. Imagine that.
If they flew all the way from wherever, America.
We get... like plenty of butterflies. I've got, I don't know if you noticed on the way in, I've got little, I've got monarch butterflies still. Have you got them appearing at the moment, which is just weird?
We still got them on our swan plants, so
yeah. Yeah. I was like, are they usually around in this cooler time? Well, it's officially winter now, so.
I think they like to stick around.
I haven't seen, I've never had them around my house at this time.
Okay.
That was interesting. So maybe the monarchs might be interested. Hollyhocks also have their uses as well as looking pretty. The stems of hollyhocks can be used as firewood, and the roots have been used medicinally. But you don't really hear of them being used. I've never heard of it.
Firewood? You mean if they're dried?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some plants burn really well. Like, compared to other plants, I've noticed.
And the roots are for what? Are they...
I don't know. I couldn't find much information, but hold that thought, guys. I think what we'll do is we'll break things up because I've been talking for about 6 minutes now, and I need to give you a break. So we're going to play a lovely song called English Country Garden by, what was the name of the chap that sings that one? Jimmy Rogers. Break things up, and for several reasons, because hollyhocks, I imagine, would look stunning in an English country garden, and it's in honour of our Queen of England, with it being her
jubilee,
the grand jubilee. Yeah, enjoy.
How many kinds of sweet flowers grow in an English country garden? I'll tell you now of some that I know, and those I miss you'll surely pardon. Daffodil, heartsease, and phlox, meadow sweet and lady smocks, gentian, lupin, and tall hollyhocks, roses, foxgloves, snowdrops, forget-me-nots, in an English country garden.
In an English country garden.
How many insects come here and go through our English country garden? I'll tell you now of some that I know, and those I miss you surely pardon. Fireflies, moss and bees, spiders climbing in the trees, butterflies that sway on the cool gentle breeze. There are snakes, ants that sting, and creeping things in an English country garden.
In an English country garden.
How many songbirds fly to and fro through our English country garden? I'll tell you now of some that I know, and those I miss you'll surely pardon. Bobolink, cuckoo, and quail, tangier, and cardinal, bluebird, lark, thrush, and nightingale. There is joy in the spring when the birds begin to sing in an English country garden.
In an English country garden.
Robin,
Robin,
don't forget the robin.
Don't forget the robin, robin.
Robin,
robin, robin.
Don't forget the robin.
That was a lovely song. I can just imagine all the flowers in this English country garden, including hollyhock. So, Karen, how would you care for your hollyhocks? Any tips?
An English can... Oh, sorry. I was distracted. Yes. Question. Yes, I have done some emergency research, Selena.
Yes.
Fear not. So here we go. For those people that Selena and I have fully inspired to go and plant hollyhocks... This is what you need to do, okay? Get your pen out. Or pencil, I'll accept that. I'll even accept felt. Okay, I'm starting to sound like a teacher. But, let's go. Sow at just a quarter of an inch deep. Oh, we're talking seeds here, okay? About 2 feet apart. So they need to be directly sown.
Okay. You don't get the seedlings to transplant them then?
I've never looked for seedlings in the plant shops, have you?
Oh, not really. I've grown mine from seed, but I suppose if they're quite tall, they would like to be planted directly.
I'm going to put that on my to-do list, because we are going to the garden shop soon, because we need to, as you will find out, we need to get some things for the property.
Okay.
I'm going to have a look and I'll let you know.
Yes, I haven't seen them in shops.
I've never, But then, you know, it's one of those situations where sometimes when you don't know what you're looking, like you, if you don't know what it is or you're not aware of it, you don't see it.
No. Yeah.
It's kind of like finding the love of your life. If you don't know what you're looking for, or you don't know,
you'll miss
him. You'll walk right past it. Okay. Or else it's funny. Right off piste again.
Right under your nose, and you didn't even know.
Or you know when you see it.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, love aside. That's from direct seed, so a couple of feet apart to give them some room. Just remember, this is a tall plant, okay, and they have long tap roots. So if the seeds are started indoors, use tall individual pots and transplant early to avoid damage. Okay, all right. Start indoor seeds about 9 weeks before the last frost. When's our last frost? We don't really...
Maybe August to September.
August, September. All right.
So after that. So probably it'll be safe to plant in October.
Yeah. Okay, you've got time, guys. Time's on your side. And they like a well-drained, sunny position, protected from the wind. So Selena's thinking maybe hers weren't a huge success. Sorry, pointing the microphone the wrong direction there. Selena was thinking hers weren't a great success because she... Did you put yours straight into the clay soil out the back there?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so probably a bit too clayish. But two, yeah, they've obviously got fine roots.
They need a deep soil, which is probably well drained, and my garden's not particularly well drained.
Yeah, it's not like comfrey that's got a taproot that'll go anywhere. You know, so I thought, oh, maybe it's like comfrey, like it's got a huge.
Yeah.
I always think of. And there's various others that are growing up on a farm that are trying to get those weeds out for Dad. Like that. What's that big one with the huge leaves? That
dock.
Anyway, so it's frost hardy, which is great. So you don't worry if you do get a bit of cold weather there. And you would need lots of water during the dry periods because it's apparently a heavy feeder.
Oh, that's probably why I don't feed it enough.
Okay,
yeah.
So by heavy feeder, they're saying lots of water, but heavy feeder, just reading this, means that it needs nutrients too. Okay.
So probably not a plant that thrives on neglect for beginner gardeners.
Oh, damn it. Not my kind of plant then. So, no, I am.
Anyway, they look gorgeous when they are... cared for and like when they grow, so I would not dismiss them just because they need more care.
And also, if they start getting really high, use bamboo stakes or something like that around the 80 centimetre mark. Also, they are susceptible to rust, slugs and snails. I don't know, what's rust? Oh, that's that, the orange fungi.
Yeah,
I was thinking actual rust. I was like, okay.
No, they're not made.
Now, here's a fun thing, because I'm going to have a go at growing them in containers. The thing is, they suggest online, if you are going to put them in a container, you have to make sure there's plenty of room. As you know, hollyhocks have long tap roots as well as lateral roots that need space, so the deeper the pot, the better. Containers with a barrel-like shape work best. Young hollyhock plants can be planted into containers over the summer. So, yeah. I think we've about...
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about your barrels soon because I am going to interview you about your garden renovations. So, Karen, I've heard that you are renovating your current garden. You're going to do a huge makeover.
More like culling. We can work with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So pretend that I am a garden designer. I'm going to work with you, finding out your wants and needs for this new garden that you're going to create. And we'll just talk about what things you need to consider in planning a bit before you put it into practice. Okay.
Oh, Oh, great. Where have you been all my life? I've needed one of these, like... I think your hourly rate might be, a bit excessive for me, Selena, I'm afraid. But, hey, for the sake of the radio show, yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
You're getting free advice. So let's roll into it. This is, like, Garden Design 101, so...
Okay.
And it's free because you're listening to Garden Planet. Okay, Karen. Well, the first thing we're going to do is prioritise our goals and values of, like, what is your goal for this garden that you want to... How are you going to use this garden?
Well, I guess the main goal of it is to actually reduce the amount of work. So I've actually been, culling a lot of it. Not necessarily... I don't like... killing things, but I've been giving away a lot of things. I've been planting a lot of things down at the garden, like that succulent that's just everywhere.
Okay.
At the school garden I'm in charge of, there's suddenly a huge influx of plants that are turning up there.
Oh.
So, I'm just because I have taken on a full-time role, yes, and it's a teaching role, so it's actually like, how do you say double full-time? It's like double time. Like, I literally don't have a life. So I just thought, something's got to give. And my fellow flatmates, that i.e. husband and son, are not gardeners at all,
okay,
which is fine. It's not for everyone, but I can't rely on them to keep things
going.
So that's
I would say it's an easy care garden. So you want something that you don't have to necessarily tend to every single day of your life.
You are a great listener, Selena. You should be a counsellor. Yes.
Okay.
No, you are a good listener. You listen to all my problems.
All right.
This is just one of the many.
Okay.
That's hit the nail on the head there. Yeah, easy care.
Okay. The second thing that we're going to discuss is functional objectives, i.e. needs of this garden. So is there a need? I know it's easy care, but is there certain things you need out of this garden?
Yeah, I'm wanting a certain amount of shade just because... the back area of the house captures a lot of sun. We've got a lot of north-facing sun coming onto our property, which is lovely, but in the summer it can get very hot. We recently invested in a pergola.
Oh, yes.
I don't think you've seen it yet, but it's been drilled down onto the deck, so that's lovely, but... just wouldn't mind a bit of foliage around that structure just to soften it a bit.
Okay, so maybe a climbing plant of some sort that's not too invasive and gives you a bit of shade and canopy, but not totally shading your property.
And we don't need anything deciduous.
Oh, you don't want falling leaves. Of course, that's a lot of...
I don't mind falling leaves a certain amount, but our neighbour over there, I don't know the type of tree they've got, but it is, huge, which is lovely. It attracts a lot of bird life, and it's lovely. But, it drops leaves.
Okay.
So, it's going to have to be not a leaf dropper.
Okay. Or if it's...
Oh, and I've got my remaining grapevine, which survived the massacre.
Yes.
That also drops leaves.
But are you going to keep that?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it has delicious grapes, as you know.
Do you need, veggies or fruit out of this garden, or are you not?
I would love to have the time for that, but that's not going to happen at the moment, no.
No, okay. So it's more kind of decorative and...
Yeah.
Yeah, just a relaxed garden.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Sounds good. And we've got the fruit from the vine when it actually recovers.
Yeah.
Because the problem was we had to, in order for the structure to go up, we had to cull a lot of, not cull, but I tried to bend it the other way.
Oh.
And established vines
I've discovered don't like to be bent the other way.
No, they want to grow where they need
maybe
the
light. If you're young and exploring and supple, that's fine. But yeah, no, it didn't end well.
Okay.
For the plant.
Oh, cool.
But it had to go, otherwise we wouldn't have our structure.
Right.
But yeah, there's some remaining. I think I've got confidence that it will come back strong. Mm. It's a pretty strong vine, actually.
Yeah. It does make a lovely setting when you're with your barbecue and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, and the next on that list, is wish lists of wants. I'm thinking you've got your needs, but is there something you really want?
Yes, there is. We have taken out 2 cabbage trees. I don't know if you noticed when
you
walked in.
Yes, I saw.
Yeah. We've still got the remaining stump of one, which I kind of gave up on. My hands were, like, blistered and cut trying to get all those roots out. I'd broken a spade in the process. So I was just like, yeah, no, I'll leave that for someone stronger.
Okay. So you want that removed?
The stump needs to be removed. We're waiting on the builder. That tends to show up sometimes when he can be bothered.
That is tricky.
The plan is he's going to, like, attach it to his bull bar on the back of his truck.
Uh-oh.
Like, yeah, yes. Chain it up.
And pull
and just down the drive.
It's like the enormous turnip.
Exactly.
Except can you eat the cabbage?
So, tree? I don't know, but at the rate he's going, I don't know, it could be a fully developed cabbage tree again before we see.
Well, yeah, they grow back pretty quickly.
I know, right?
So, anyway,
when the stump is gone, I had a discussion with the husband and I said, look, let's make it our garden. Mm. Is there anything that you would like in that front area? Because it's the entrance.
Yes.
He would really like some sort of cherry type cute tree that's kind of like a feature.
Okay, so maybe something like a magnolia or something with blossoms.
The neighbour with the deciduous tree also has a magnolia down that same fence line, so
yes.
I was thinking, maybe not a magnolia.
Oh, something different.
He's thinking maybe a Japanese cherry, one of those.
Oh, okay, yep.
I don't know. I'm actually surprised that he even came up with that, but I was just trying to be inclusive.
Yes.
And I think it's quite a cute idea.
Something ornamental and pretty.
I've heard that there's these cute weeping cherries that are not too large, which would be good. But I don't know much about cherry. I love them, but I don't know how they fare in Auckland.
They're okay, but there is a weedy type of cherry, and also they drop leaves, so.
Well, that's out the front, so we don't have. It's round the back way is where I was like, no more leaves.
Mm.
Round the front, I don't mind a few leaves dropping out the front. I just didn't need any more of my deck.
Okay.
Out the back with more leaves.
Right.
Yeah, no more. But front, yeah, that's right. We can cope with that.
Well, no, your dislikes, and we also know a bit of your likes just from what we've discussed already. And now we need to have a bit of knowledge of your site, so I understand it is on a hill. It's
yes,
a little slopey. It's north facing.
Free draining.
North facing.
That's one good thing about a hill.
Yeah.
North facing, clay soil. And, yeah, fully fenced, so.
And it's your average suburban size.
Probably larger these days.
Yeah.
Maybe in the 70s and 80s it was average size.
Okay. Okay, Karen, thanks for that. I've got some information about your wants and needs, so I'm going to go away and have a think about what solutions I can provide for your new garden.
Looking forward to it, Selena. I think we're going to need a part 2 for this, eh?
Definitely. So, listeners, stay tuned, and in upcoming episodes we may hear more about the new things happening in Karen's garden.
Yeah, cool. It might even be from the new studio, eh? Who knows?
Yeah.
Watch this space.
All right, guys. Happy gardening, everyone. Have a think about your own gardens, whether you want to change things up a bit.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Ka kite anō, everyone.
And some hollyhocks.
Bye.
Oh, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.